Okay, so my presentation is the mutual friends make for risky hookups among young adults using a mobile dating app. I have no relationships to disclose. So this might be funny, but there's some truth to this. Have you ever been on Facebook and realized that you have a lot of mutual friends in common with somebody and you wonder, how is it that you don't know that person? Well, the same thing might be true for dating. So Google Consumer Survey found out that people tend to meet their current significant other through mutual friends. Although they meet in a variety of other ways, mutual friends was the most common way. And people just like to date in their circle. The reason for that is that your mutual friends can initiate the conversations with people that you're interested in dating. They can either set up the hookup or they can just introduce you. Additionally, they can provide background information about the person that you're interested in dating. I actually know a few people that they won't actually date people unless they know someone who can vouch for that person. So dating can be a very scary experience, and having mutual friends may provide a sense of security, especially if you have positive attitudes about the mutual friend that you know. That might allow you to think positively about your date because you have positive attitudes about your mutual friend. Especially if you met someone randomly and your mutual friend didn't actually hook you guys up together, they might be able to, you know, provide some, you know, information about them to make you feel better about it. So dating has become a digital experience for many young people, and now we have lots of mobile dating apps. One of the most popular dating apps is Tinder. Tinder processes 1 billion swipes per day and matches about 12 million people per day. And Tinder has two primary features. So the first feature is this geo-positioning feature in which you can find potential dates within a few miles away from you. The other feature is this mutual friends feature. So Tinder will actually tell you how many people you know in common with a person. And then it will then tell you who those mutual friends are. So you can decide whether or not you want to swipe left, meaning that you want to like the person based off of the people that you see that you have in common. So the purpose of our study was to understand how mutual friends influences communication about STIs among Tinder users. So we recruited university students between the ages of 18 and 24 via email. We sent an email to university instructors who were teaching during the spring 2015 semester, and we asked them to let their students know about the survey. We also sent out a mass email through an organizational listserv that had basically access to almost all of the students at the university. So students who were interested in participating, they were able to complete an online survey about their experiences meeting people on a mobile dating app or offline. But the responses for this presentation are based solely on Tinder, although people did report meeting people in other apps. So we had about 418 men and women who said that they met a partner on, or they had used Tinder in the past year. So we had mainly women who completed the survey, and primarily most of them were white. So we asked a few questions just to find out why was it that they wanted to use Tinder. And many of them said that they used Tinder to find friends. But actually, a lot of them ended up having sex with people that they met on Tinder. And one of my colleagues, she just did a poster presentation on this actual, about their intentions. And I have handouts about it if you're interested in knowing more about it. We also asked them, so if you match on Tinder and Tinder indicates that you have shared contacts with a person you match, how comfortable would you be meeting this person? And so many of them said that they would be comfortable meeting this person. But then there were some people that said that this would not change how comfortable they felt meeting someone if they had mutual friends. So we asked them two questions about how likely they would be to communicate with a partner based off of having mutual friends or not. So the first question was, if you have mutual friends, how likely are you to communicate about STI testing, HIV testing? And the next question was, if you do not have mutual friends, how likely are you to communicate about STI and HIV testing? So we did a McNamara chi-square test to compare the responses from one question to the next. So McNamara's chi-square test basically looks at within person and how your responses change from one question to the next question. So we found out that the likelihood of communicating about STI testing changed significantly based on whether the participant had mutual contacts with a potential date. And participants were more likely to indicate that they would communicate about STI testing when they did not share contacts. Sorry. So just for a visual representation of what I meant, so if a person were to respond to these questions, they were more likely to respond in this manner. They were more likely to say that they were very unlikely or unlikely to ask someone about STI testing if they had a mutual friend, and then say very likely or likely if they did not have mutual friends. We found similar results when we asked about HIV testing. The likelihood of communicating about HIV testing changed significantly based on whether the participant had mutual friends with a potential date. And participants were more likely to indicate that they would communicate about HIV testing when they did not share mutual friends compared to when they did have mutual friends. So once again, if they were to actually complete the survey, this is how most of them would have could have responded. They would have said, most of them would responded very unlikely and unlikely when they had mutual friends, and very likely and likely when they did not have mutual friends. Overall, there was a lack of communication with their last sexual partner when they met them on a mobile app. Most of them did not communicate about STIs and HIV status or pregnancy prevention. Although more of them talked about condom use, there's still about 30% of them that did not talk about condom use with their partner. Additionally, there was low condom use during the first sexual encounter with people who met partners on mobile apps. So about 53% of people used condoms during vaginal sex, 36% during anal sex, and 2% used condoms during oral sex. So there's some limitations to this research. We weren't actually able to link their sexual behaviors to partners that they use on Tinder. So we asked questions about how which mobile apps you've used in the last year, and they were able to select more than one. And if they selected a mobile app, then they answered a set of questions about their sexual behavior with anyone that they might have met on a mobile app. So we aren't able to say that, you know, their condom use is related to them meeting someone on Tinder, for example. Additionally, we asked them these questions in vignettes, so they were kind of hypothetical. So we don't know if in real life situation how mutual friends would affect their sexual risk behaviors. So the conclusion that we came to was that Tinder users may be less comfortable having HIV and STI conversations with partners that they share mutual friends with. And this may be because of some HIV heuristics that they have. If you have a friend, you think that your friend is more like you. And if you think that your friend is safe, and if they're also friends with, you know, your potential date has mutual friends, you might also think that that potential date is safe as well. But unfortunately, research has indicated that we aren't able to accurately predict our partner's risk. So this is not a safe behavior to assume that your mutual friends, the potential date that you have met, that through mutual friends is actually a safe partner. So more research is needed to understand how mutual friends leads to sexual risk behaviors, because this app is not only being integrated on Tinder, it's been integrated on a lot of other apps as well. And because this feature allows people to feel a little bit more comfortable meeting people, because like I said, dating can be scary, especially on mobile dating apps, a lot of these mobile dating apps are incorporating this feature to make people feel a lot more comfortable. Additionally, more research is needed on how to enhance sexual communications with partners who meet on apps, and this may be through interventions that we can put on mobile dating apps. So I'd also like to thank our participants, my major professors, and the College of Public Health at University of South Florida for sponsoring this presentation. Thank you.
We have some time for any questions. Well, it's about the likelihood that someone would change their responses. So this is kind of like how many people responded in that manner, but the difference is in how they change their responses from one question to the next. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess what I'm suggesting is, even though it's a statistically significant difference, the magnitude of the difference doesn't really improve that rate. That's all I'm trying to keep that on.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you for the presentation. I think it's just with so many people using these apps today. It's really great. I do want to go back to your discussion point when you stated that the HIV heuristics, people like me are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was American, Neo-Alpha Native people. And I've done research looking at partnerships and where people hook up and found similar findings as well. So I think your findings and your discussion points are right on. And mm-hmm. Nice contribution to the field.
Thank you.
Just one more observation. It's also interesting that the individuals who discuss with their partners these issues are still in the minority of the field.
Yeah. That is true. So there are a lot of people that aren't having these discussions, and when they do have these discussions, they're kind of just using these, you know, these heuristics to kind of lead their conversations. Or yeah, I agree with you. I think that was a...
there's lots of discussion about the existing literature on HIV heuristics, mm-hmm. but I think it's a really important alternative hypothesis.
Yeah, it's definitely something, I'll look into, because I think that you're right on with that. Thank you.